She drove separately. She's already in the building, and I'm trying to get out of there. So I said, I can do this. And the Lord taught me a lesson, you know, my own strength. I broke the door handle right off. It was in my hand, and there I am stuck. God made a way out, but you know what? I never prayed to get out of my own truck. It might sound silly, but I probably should have prayed. Amen? Amen. Amen. 2023, January 8th. See, that date kind of rings a bell. Doesn't it, Daisy? It's Daisy's birthday today. Happy birthday. Love you. All right. Well, praise the Lord. 2023. Well, I guess I'd have to start off with saying 2022, we got through it, so we're through with 22. How's that? That's a good tag for where we're at right now. January 8th, 2023. We're through with 22. We saw a lot in 22, especially at the end. A storm that left 60 people dead. 31 just in Erie County, or probably more now. The death toll has gone up. 70-mile-an-hour wind in a blizzard. 1.5 million people without power. 50 million people were affected on this Christmas storm, traveling and everything. And a new hotel was established out in Newstead. Kevin's shaking his head. I assume y'all know, maybe you don't. But Kevin's door was open during that storm, and seven people found refuge for a couple days, some of them, at Kevin's house. So it ended. 22 ended very interesting. But now as 2023 has arrived, I believe, you know, God, it seemed, is getting our attention, and I wouldn't say that unless I saw something happening that wouldn't happen other ways. When have you ever heard news anchors, sportscasters pray on TV? I've never heard them pray on TV over an injury or somebody down on a field. But they were praying. Newscasters praying. A lot of them were saying, well, pray, you're in our thoughts and prayers and thoughts and prayers. But some of them stopped what they were doing and actually prayed in the name of Jesus. You have to see God's hand on that, especially after getting our attention with the end of 22. Lord, people are praying for this Damar Hamilton. And from all I understand, the man has put his young man, 24 years old, has put his faith in Jesus. And he's not ashamed of his faith in Christ. I saw when he goes out there, they put the eyeliner, you know, to cut down the glare. He has a cross on each side. That's what he puts on his face, cross. Not ashamed. Probably not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Amen. Amen. So it's time to leave 22 behind. We're through with 22, but to look ahead. And I thought it very interesting. That's where I want to go this morning. And the more that I thought about it and I put together, by the time I got done putting a message together, I said, I'll never be able to get it in just one sermon. Unless you wanted to stay here a long time. Better not do that. So this will be part one of a vision I would like to cast out to you. I don't know how I fit in here, but I have been connected with all the Mennonite Church for a lot of years. And for the last seven, almost 8 years, I say Cindy and I intentionally came here every other week between here and Grace. That's a story some of you may have heard. I wouldn't recommend that for everyone, but it worked for us. And I see God's hand in it now. So I wouldn't say I'm looking at this congregation, this group of believers from the outside. I'm involved in your lives to some extent, and I thank the Lord for that. But what I'd like to do is look ahead, to cast a vision. Be thou my vision, O Lord. Be thou my vision. So as we look to Christ, we look at each other, we look around, and we say, what about 23? Who are we going to be in 23? That'd be a good tag. That would be a good tag for AMC. Oh, it just keeps rolling. For AMC, who are we going to be in 2023? We need a vision. Proverbs 29, verse 18. You're familiar with it. You probably don't know it by the address here, but I know you've heard this scripture verse. And it would be good for us to season where we're going with this first step. Proverbs 29, 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But the one who follows divine instruction will be happy or blessed. That's a combination of the King James Version and Christian Standard Bible. That's how they translated it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But the one who follows divine instruction, most of your translations will probably say the law, will be happy, will be blessed. So we definitely want to have hope for 2023. And we have hope in many areas. But as we gather here this Sunday morning, I believe your hearts are wondering who you are going to be in 2023. Realizing that you did vote, I think, probably about 6 months ago to continue on for another year. Am I right? Okay. Lynn, do you know that date? Will that be a year? The end of June. Okay, excellent. You got 6 months. You've spent 6 months already. We spent 6 months already in that agreement, gathering together. But now the second half awaits us now. It's very interesting now because it's a new year. 6 months from now, I would suggest, as we continue to walk in this vision, which I want to cast, that you don't wait until March or April or May to try to decide, what are we going to do? June's coming. I would say, take this to heart, because I trust that this is divine instruction. Not because I'm preaching it, but because it's here. It's in God's Word. And I hope I do a good job casting God's Word to you. That is for this church, it's for any church. It's for any group of believers. It's for any group of believers that come together and want to fulfill his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen? We want to, I'm speaking for all of us, but I think I can, we want to fulfill God's will. We want to see his kingdom that has come in part. He's revealed it to us. We want to see that kingdom seen throughout the world. We want to walk in his kingdom, in his kingdom principles. We're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. God uses his church to advance his kingdom. So who will we be in 2023? As we look ahead, it's important that we have a vision. Without a vision, people perish. You just fall by the wayside. I'm looking at these candles. Look at them. There's no light. They've burned down. I see joy. Hope's probably out there somewhere. Hope, joy, peace, love. The candles have burned out. They don't look the same as they did 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, do they? We need a vision. We need to see that light. We need to have hope. And we get that through divine instruction. We ended last time in Romans 15:13. And believe it or not, I'm going to get this vision from Romans. We've gotten so much. I have from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. I'm going to continue in that, but I'm going to pull 3 points out of where we will pick up from where we left off. I'll say last year, kind of stretching it out, but a couple weeks ago. And Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that hope, that word, in the Greek, it's elpis. To look forward with confidence to that which is good and beneficial. That Greek word in Romans 15:13, hope, may the God of hope, you overflow with hope, that word, elpis, is to look forward with confidence. With confidence to that which is good and beneficial. Also in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his good purpose. So who is he speaking to? He's speaking to those in the church in Rome who have been called. And called according to a purpose. I guess the point today would be, as we're keeping vision in mind, this new year, especially these next 6 months, that you agreed to gather together, to continue to gather together, bringing us all together in a vision today, I would say we need to look forward in confidence and follow a vision of divine instruction, and the one that it may please is the one who gives this divine instruction. So we'll look for this divine instruction to the one who gave it, from the one who gave it. So with that in mind, I'm not leaving it. I'm just going to go to the scriptures that we would have normally gone to anyways. And I'll be honest with you, the first few, when I'm going to preach on a section of scripture, I'll read it, and then I'll read it again, and then I'll read it again, and I'll read it again. And the more you read a scripture and think about what is said and think about who said it and who he was saying it to, the more comes to light, the more revelation. Proverbs 29:18, without a revelation, the people perish. Depends how you translate that. And that's a vision, a revelation. So let's see. I'm going to read from Romans 15:14 through 24, 10 verses or 11 verses here. And I'll bring out something, but I want you to listen to what Paul is writing to this church in Rome in these scripture verses. And I think it would be beneficial if you want to write down some notes. I'm not one to fill in blanks. I'll let you do that. you know, hand something out and you fill in the blank. You write down what the Spirit is impressing on your heart or revealing to you about a vision. If you don't do it the first time, we're not going to leave here, so we're staying here for a while. So we'll walk through this section of Scripture again. Romans 15, starting with verse 14. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except that which Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, to those who have not were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I've often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I have been longing for years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Amen. From those scripture verses, I want to bring out 3 points. And I may speak, as Paul said, quite boldly on some of them. The first point I want to make from this scripture verse, section of scripture, is Paul, in 3 different places in those few verses, refers to proclaiming the gospel. It was his priestly duty in verse 16, he said. His priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, set apart by the Holy Spirit. In verse 19, he says, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Verse 19. I have fully proclaimed the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And in verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. So we can see there, he says something over and over again. That gospel within him was burning. He had a desire, a burning desire to proclaim the gospel where Christ had never been preached before. Very important, because I have been and I will continue to end all my sermons with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Know the gospel, believe the gospel, obey the gospel, and what? Proclaim the gospel. Go out those doors and proclaim the gospel every opportunity you have. Don't have opportunities, nothing seems to open up, pray about it. We're going to hear so much more about prayer, not from me, but from this nation that God has stirred up. and I hope it stirs up the church. Kevin had us praying today, laying hands on Marion, interceding on behalf of Lynn's mother, praying for Noah, other situations. We need to pray, and we need to pray that God would give us an opportunity to proclaim him. Now, this is part of the vision for this group of believers, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second point I want to pull from these scriptures is Paul referring to building and laying a foundation. That is in verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. It's important that we see what Jesus has done in the past, given us a model, a paradigm on his desire for his church to reproduce itself. And he does this not through individuals, he does this now through churches. Verse 23, he says, but now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. The region that he was in was Asia Minor, like Corinth and Philippi and through Turkey in that area. Asia Minor. Well, we know in seven churches in Revelation is a good example. Okay, seven churches, probably more than that. We know there's Antioch and others. But the region wasn't filled with churches. So he said there was no more work for him to do there. You know why? Because those churches had a DNA in them. They knew what to do when they gathered together, when Paul established them. What he did, Paul went to metropolitan areas, Lystra, Derbe, and those, where people were, and he proclaimed the gospel. Where did he go first? You know the story. Where did Paul go when he went into Derbe or Lystra to preach the gospel? The synagogues. The message went to the Jews first. That was Paul's method. We don't probably want to go in right now to a synagogue and start preaching the gospel. I wouldn't say don't. But we've got work to do outside there. But the point is that Paul went, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews first, but then to the Gentiles in the same cities. He might even leave and go to other cities doing the same thing and then come back through the cities that he had just gone through. He gathers those believers together. This is all recorded. Read the book of Acts, especially 13 and 14. Read chapters 13 and 14. That was the work of the Holy Spirit. Not the work of the apostles. That was the work of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. That's a paradigm, a model. It was beginning, it has come 2,000 years, but still, it's the charge to the church. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, what? I will be with you to the end. I'll be with you always. That charge, that calling is to the church to continue on. That's how Acts starts off. Luke says to Theophilus, I recorded you from my prior book. I wrote down, which was the gospel of Luke. Now Luke's writing the book of Acts. He's writing the Acts of the Apostles, actually the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But he's writing this down for Theophilus. And he says, I wrote down all that Jesus began, this is very important, began to do, and that was in the Gospels. Jesus is still doing that. He was still doing that in the book of Acts through his church, through those who believe, those who he inhabits by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he'll do it today. No different. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, forever. He doesn't change, nor does his plan. It's revealed to us. So there Paul goes out. He preaches the gospel, gathers people together, gets them established. This isn't individual salvations. It may look that way, but he gathered them all together and got them established in the body, in a church. Established a church. Then what was the next step before he left? He appointed elders. He raised up leaders. And it was very simple. Men that managed their own families good. Did they have all these aids that we have today? You know, commentaries and concordances and no, they didn't. But they did know the gospel, and Paul taught them whatever was needed to establish that church and lead it and watch over it. So that's called the Pauline strategy or the Pauline cycle. You go out, you preach the gospel, God saves souls, you gather them together, get them baptized, get them established or grounded in the apostles' teaching, and then you raise up few leaders, several leaders, elders, and then you say, God bless you, lay hands on them, and say, I'll be in touch. And do likewise. Now, you might say, well, okay, what does that have to do with AMC? Well, let's look at this body ministry here, this church here. And I think Romans 15:14, that's where we started off, is very telling. Very telling. This, I think, is the most important verse out of all this for you here today. For AMC, or whatever it will be in 23. Hallelujah. Let's read that. Verse 14. Now, this is Paul speaking. He said, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. He was convinced. Paul said, I am convinced. And who's he talking to? The church, my brothers. That word there is everyone. I could say my brothers today to everybody in here and be addressing everybody. I am convinced, all of you, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge. Now, why did he say complete in knowledge? They knew everything? Well, I'll tell you what they did know. Just from my studies, they had the letter of Romans. They had that letter that Paul wrote them. At the very least, that's what they had. And if you don't think that that letter that we just are almost through now is so full of wisdom and theology, knowing God, that's what it is, the study of God. That is the best letter that I could have any group read and hold to. If you had to take one letter out of this whole Bible to live by and establish a church by, it would be Romans. But thank God we're not limited to that. But what a letter. And he said, I am confident. I am confident. I am convinced that you are confident. complete in knowledge. And competent to instruct one another. I would encourage you all to memorize that verse. Marinate on it. Meditate on it. Think about it. Because the vision that I want to cast, I'll let the scripture speak for itself, but it's body ministry. It's body ministry. I mean, you realize how long you've been without a pastor? You had a couple elders to start off, but now it's just Kevin. And he's on overload. He's got a business to run. The family's great, though. They're low maintenance on that group there. Good bunch. But he's got a family to take care of. This is all in. This is all in. I will say, all hands on deck. In fact, if we want to put a title. Are we recording this? Okay. All right. And if you have time, would you put it out there? Okay. And I would title this "All Hands on Deck." All hands on deck is an idiom, and that is it is a call for everyone to take part in the work put before them. It's a command that everyone participate in a particular situation. That's what an idiom is. Well, that's not what an idiom, but that's what this idiom is. All hands on deck. It relates to something that has nothing to do with Scripture or the body of Christ, but it's an idiom that proves a point or makes a point clear. If there's an issue on a ship and the captain says, all hands on deck, what does that mean? Everybody get up on deck. Joe's still sleeping. No, all hands on deck. So remember that. We're going to walk through now clear scripture where it's body ministry, one another. Because I thought of this, and I don't know really how to say it, but the church in Rome, that's who this letter is written to. To the saints in Rome, chapter 1. That's how Paul addresses the letter. But nowhere that I have found, I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I do not see anything addressed to the elder or the pastor or the bishop or the overseer. Everything in this letter is addressed to the church. Think about it. Think about that. It's not to the elders in Rome. Or he didn't say, I myself am convinced, my brother elders or overseers or bishops or pastors, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. He said that to the church. He wrote that to the church in Rome, Jew and Gentile alike. Let's season this with a little more from Ephesians. Paul wrote a letter from prison to the church in Ephesus. And in chapter 4, 1 through 16, and I'll put this out there and end this morning with this scripture verse, but there are many references in scripture, in the letters, in Philippians, which is another letter that Paul wrote from prison, from Romans chapter 12, about body ministry. In fact, I'll read that one too. but from Corinthians 12. It's about the body of Christ ministering one to another, all hands on deck. Older and younger alike. All hands on deck. Everybody's included in the church family, in the body of Christ. Everyone. And I'll tell you right now, I personally see gifts in this group, in this small group. I see giftings in this group. And some that aren't here, I see giftings that are connected and part of this group. So let's keep that in mind, and we'll read Ephesians. I'll read from Romans 12, and then we'll close for part one of this vision casting. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ proportioned it. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. Sometimes we lose sight of that. I wouldn't say it's anybody's fault. It's just the way that sometimes we design church and expect church to operate. And we can see that can be detrimental. I love coming and sharing the Word of God, I'll tell you, because it challenges me to go to it, because I know I'll be judged more strictly on the Bema seat. Not heaven or hell, but I'll be judged, and I may lose blessings that God had planned for me because I was amiss. I gave misinformation because I didn't understand correctly. Study to show thyself approved unto God. I'm the God, a workman, who correctly divides the word of God. So that's how I study. I want to please God by understanding his word thoroughly and totally. And I love doing it. Yet, at the same time, as we see church revealed in Scripture in Corinth, is the only place I really see a church service, you might say, where they came together for church. What then shall we say, brothers, when you come together? One has a psalm, a hymn, spiritual song. Somebody has a word of instruction, a tongue, an interpretation of a tongue. All of these must be done for the building up of the church. All of these must be done for the building up of the church. Same author, Paul, the master builder. Paul was a master builder. We see that in Corinthians. He was a master, expert builder. And he laid a foundation. He said he wouldn't stay in Asia Minor any longer because he already had enough foundations out there. And they understood this. They understood this cycle. You equip the church to reproduce, to multiply. Multiply more churches, become established. People all working together. Together, having church together. Let me read from, I'll read from Romans, because we are in Romans, about body ministry and about the importance of the body of Christ functioning as a body. All right, I will read from Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. My brothers and sisters, between now and a couple weeks, I'll come back and I'll present part two of a vision that is out there for consideration. And I encourage you after that, and I will encourage you then, that you consider this vision carefully, and I would decide. Because it will take time to decide whether you're going to continue on, and you can do with what I'm presenting to you as a group, how you see it, what will work for you, or you can decide in June. That's it. But remember, it's all hands on deck. It is all hands on deck. So think of those three points: evangelizing, building, and then ministering one to another from Romans. You might want to go home and read it and see if you can see those three points in there. The gospel, building, establishing and building, laying a foundation, building on it, and then ministering one to another. So, hallelujah, know the gospel, believe the gospel, obey the gospel, and go out and share the gospel with a world that really needs it. And I think right now is very open to the gospel. With what's going, which has just happened at the end of 2022. I believe that God has opened up a door for the good news of his son, Jesus Christ, to be proclaimed and received. That's what's needed. Amen. Hallelujah. I know we have a song at the end here. Okay, just let me close in prayer, Noah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your divine instruction. Thank you for a vision that you give your church. Thank you for the charge, the commission that we have. Lord, give us the wisdom and the conviction to fulfill whatever you have for us as a body of believers. No matter how difficult, no matter how impossible it may seem, we know that all things are possible through you. For your glory and in your name's sake, amen.